Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-263-1003. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome. How are you? Good to see you all this morning. It's about 8 o'clock. Can't believe it. I'm actually on time today. I'm on time every single day, but then there are these other people on that go over. So happy to see them. So this morning in the news, like one of the big issues is why are Philadelphia police shooting so many suspects? Now, I know what you're thinking out there in Radio Land. There are a lot of knuckleheads who are shooting at the cops. So, you know, let's be real about this. The police department should protect itself. I think it's like 7 or 8 or 9 suspects have been shot. And I think last year was like 50-some people that have been shot by the police. And most of the time, the DA's office, the Internal Affairs Division of the police department thinks it's justified. There was one case where they said it was justified, yet they paid this guy like $2 million. So, you know, the police commissioner of Philadelphia has announced his own investigation to review how they're handling it. And I was going to ask my Philly lawyer a question about this, but, well, before you go, my Philly lawyer, because I believe the commissioner is standing by, so I'm not going to fool around with you a lot, but let me ask you. So I'm shot by the cops. And I was, like, thinking about robbing a Dunkin' Donuts. I had a gun on me, and
You're not getting very far on any kind of a claim against the city of
How's
Philadelphia.
How's my defense look to you?
It looks poor. Like, well, it looks like you're going to be spending some time in jail and have a gunshot, probably, that you'll nurse.
Suppose I don't have a gun.
My Philly lawyer has represented innocent victims of police overzealousness. Or abuse.
Okay.
And
that does happen in the big city
police
department.
It happens, and nobody in the police department, including our good commissioner, would suggest to you that it's never happened.
Sure.
And that's why they do their due diligence in their own internal investigations. And occasionally, they support the payment of funds to an innocent victim when that happens. But if, as you describe it, you're a robber with a gun.
I'm up to no good.
Yeah.
Well, how do I, well, I'll ask the commissioner.
Excessive force is the claim that one would make, that the police didn't need to use the force that they use in order to subdue. They have to use as little force as possible to accomplish the goal of subduing.
But if they feel threatened, if I have a gun.
If their life is in jeopardy, then they don't have to mess around with somebody like that.
So this morning, we're going to ask Commissioner Ramsey that question.
Yeah, we're on.
Okay.
Good morning. I'm Dean Weitzman, and this is Court Radio. You just heard a segment between Stephen Collins and myself, one of many that we've had over the years. And at this point, it's probably not new knowledge to most listeners that we've lost our great friend, my mentor, Stephen Collins, having passed away a brief 7 days ago, unexpectedly, on the early morning hours of September the 9th. Stephen Collins of Radio 1 of Philadelphia has had his microphone silenced. David,
yes.
I actually got a call, several calls in the evening of or the morning of September 9th, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., but the one that woke me and that I finally was made aware for the first time that E had passed was actually from you.
Yeah, that was me. I learned of... I was woken up early, like 5:30, I think it was, in the morning, to that news. That was the first thing I was told, and I was shocked. I couldn't believe. I didn't think it was true, so I checked it on the news, and it was literally it was only one news wire that had the news at that point. No one else had it, But I confirmed it on the newswire. So that's why I called you right away. I didn't know whether you had been aware or not. Apparently, like you said, people had called you that evening, but you were sleeping and didn't hear your cell phone.
Yeah.
So we had just seen him that morning. That was the Sunday, you know, of our radio show. He came in as he always does and gave us his, you know, insight on how horrible we were, as he always did.
Yep.
in jest, of course.
Yeah.
And we had our little banter, and then that was it. And who would have thought that would have happened?
Well, that's the, as always, E, as the great teacher, has taught us another lesson, one that maybe we've heard before, but it certainly isn't any more true now, and that is that we just don't know our time that we have here, and the presumption that there's always a tomorrow is certainly a false presumption. There won't always be a tomorrow. We just don't know when they end. And, as you said, E came into the studio on Sunday, and he was his ordinary crazy self. And he and I jabbed at one another and passed the microphone off. And I turned my back on him, and not knowing it was the last time.
Yeah, like if we had known that, obviously, if anyone had known, would have
given him a kiss.
Yeah, right.
I lost a great friend and a mentor. Philadelphia lost a great hero. The African American community lost its greatest advocate. There are so many people who have lost by his passing, not the least of which is his family, Lisa Collins. And his sons, Langston and Rashid, our condolences continue to go out to the family of our friend E. Stephen Collins.
Yeah, I listened to Old School that morning, obviously, as soon as I heard. And I listened throughout the day. And I was mesmerized. I mean, look, you knew him a little more, you know, better than I did. You spent more time with him. But from what I knew of him, and I knew he was a radio legend. I knew he had been on the radio a long time. Just when I first met him with that voice, the voice itself told me this guy's, you know, knows what he's doing. And that was the least of which, you know, the things that told me he knew what he was doing. But I, all throughout that day, I'm hearing all these people calling in, what they were saying, or the radio personalities, what they were saying. All of, there was Derek, who we know real well. He was on talking about how E influenced them and a couple other of people who he had mentored. It just amazed me how influential he was. It didn't amaze me. I kind of knew it. But to hear it was really inspiring to me. I mean, it wasn't. I wish I hadn't have heard it in those circumstances. But really, over the course of this week, I've been greatly inspired by what this gentleman did.
Yeah.
And, he really influenced so many people.
He did. There's no doubt about it. And he was a mentor to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We came on the air several years ago with an idea of Court Radio, and E was so influential and so helpful in helping make that a reality for Philadelphia and for us. And he always took the time to try to help us to be better at what we're doing. It's funny. E was a character.
And definitely.
He would...
definitely.
He'd come to my office at least monthly, if not more often, and stride down the hall. It's a long hall from the reception area to my office. And he would stride down the hall saying hello to everybody. Each office as he passed by got a hello, and everybody would stick their head out the door and say, "Hey, E, how are you?"
Yeah.
He'd pass out raises. It cost me money every time E. Stephen Collins came to my office, because he would freely, generously pass out raises to each and every employee. He always came late. This man had no concept of time.
Well, that isn't that ironic, because the biggest thing on the air, because he, you know, his show comes after ours, was he would come in and give us all sorts of nonsense about,
of course,
we're a minute over. How dare we take his time?
We're not radio professionals.
That's right.
So,
but every appointment he would come to you, he would be a little late, huh?
A little? No, no. He and I would make up an appointment for 1 o'clock, 1:30, and at 3 o'clock, I'd realize, wait a minute, he didn't show up. And then all of a sudden, the receptionist would say, buzz me and say, Mr. Collins is here.
Who?
And oh, so I'd come out to the reception area, and he would be standing there, pacing around, saying, I've been here for 2 hours. Where have you been? Lord. We had fun. We had fun.
Yeah.
E. Stephen Collins. Well, today's show, folks, is a memorial to my friend, my mentor, E. Stephen Collins. If you've got your E stories and you're listening and like to chime in, you can reach us at 215. Sorry, Kyle, I've been remiss in giving the number. 215-263-1003. This is Radio 1, and we are today talking about my friend and mentor, E. Stephen Collins. If you've got an E story, today's the time and now's the place to do it. We're going to transition over to Philly Speaks with E. Stephen Collins. And that guest host today will be none other than the greatest state senator the Commonwealth has ever known, Vincent Hughes, who will take the microphone for his friend, E. Stephen Collins. So it's going to be a two-hour love fest. It's not hard to do with my friend, E. Stephen Collins. If you've got stories about E., we've got time to talk about it today. I don't know. I know the phones are lighting up, David. We'll have some guests on shortly. And if you have legal questions, don't feel bad. You can give us a call. E. was a big supporter of Court Radio. He loved the fact that David and I were able to give advice to ordinary people on a weekly basis, people who wouldn't ordinarily have a chance to get into an attorney's office to get their questions asked. That was as big a part of what we do as anything, and he was a great supporter of that, always looking out for the community and ways to help.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I don't think he would mind that at all.
No. So legal questions or stories about E. Stephen Collins, you can give us a call. David and I are Court Radio, and it's 215-263-1003. We'll get you into the door where we'll answer your legal questions or chat about E. Stephen Collins.
I think I don't want to use the word funny, but it was funny. He seemed to, correct me if I'm wrong, Dean, because it always involved you, obviously. A lot of the topics we spoke about, usually involving auto insurance, he became a unwilling participant, whether it be a car accident or someone in his family getting into an accident, or, you know, he had the worst insurance. I think when you met him, he had the worst possible auto insurance that anyone in the world could have possibly had.
He did. And you know what? So do a lot of people.
Yeah. Right.
And he was amazed at how little he knew about insurance and how important it was in his life. And yet he didn't have the right stuff. In fact, David, it's funny you mention that because the Friday before E passed away,
right,
just 48 hours before E passed away, I was here at the radio station giving a seminar to employees of Radio 1
that he did.
That he organized.
Yeah.
He was so amazed at what changes could be made to one's auto insurance policy to better protect your family that he wanted everybody at Radio 1 to have that knowledge. So we put together, E and I put together a seminar, a lunch seminar, right here at the station. We spent an hour. And E started the seminar by introducing me and started to tell people what I had taught him about his auto policy. I had to literally push him out the door.
Yeah, like, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm the expert here.
He became the expert on insurance. He was a great student.
That's good, yeah.
He and I can't tell you how, you know, great a loss this is. He and I counseled each other and on a regular basis. I taught him. He taught me. We really shared with one another so much. 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Rick from Cheltenham. Hey, Rick, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
First, I want to give my condolences to the Collins family, the Radio 1 family, and the family of Philadelphia that lost a very good man here in this city.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that, you know, this morning is just not the same. I was expecting every Sunday morning to hear E. Steven on the radio. He was so informative and such a personal person. I really feel like I lost someone.
Yeah.
But the whole city of Philadelphia lost their unofficial mayor. And I really want to say to the family, God bless you, and everybody stay strong.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks
for calling in, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care. 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Joe from South Jersey. Hey, Joe, welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, Rick took the words right out of my mouth. I want to give my condolences to the Collins family as well as Radio 1 family for your loss. I also had a couple losses. My mother passed away on August 5th. She battled esophageal cancer for 18 months. And my nephew's mother passed away a month later on September 5th. And actually, her funeral was this past Friday. And when I was leaving her service, as I was traveling down Broad Street, I believe there was procession for Stephen Collins. And, you know, City of Philadelphia has really lost an iconic person who really reached out and helped a lot of people and was genuine, as was my mother. She was born in Philadelphia, but she had moved to Chicago and has done great things with McDonald's Corporation. It just seems that the great people that are in the world, they seem to go away way before they should. And, I just wanted to give my condolences to everyone for the loss.
Joe, thanks for giving us a call. And thanks for recognizing E and your mom. And my condolences to you as well.
Thank you. And I understand you. I heard you talking about insurance, and it's funny because I do have a quick question.
Go for it.
Okay. If you could answer it.
Sure.
I don't know how familiar you are with New Jersey law as far as insurance goes, but I was in a motor vehicle accident 2 years ago. A young lady ran in the back of me at the intersection of Roosevelt Boulevard and Oxford. And
hey, that's my old neighborhood.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, the thing about it is, it was obviously her fault. And I sustained a lot of injuries. I have four herniated discs in my back and two on my neck because of the accident. Now, the person's insurance, they only had a $15,000 policy. But I had an uninsured, underinsured motorist policy.
Right.
That also was $15,000. And my attorney told me that I cannot exhaust my UIM coverage.
Yeah,
he's correct.
He or she is correct.
Yep.
I want to I'll give you a brief rundown. But
we'll,
you know, this
you
is exactly what we talked about. One of the things we talked about at Radio 1 seminar on Friday. And I got to do this seminar more often, David. Maybe
yep.
you and I can do it together.
We should start these seminars all over for the public, not for lawyers.
Yeah, no. Definitely, we can do this. But let me tell you, Joe, that there's a distinction between New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and you've hit upon one of the most important ones. In Pennsylvania, they look at the value of your injury. That's the focus. What's the value of your injury? And if the value of your injury, just for argument's sake, is $100,000 and you've only collected $15,000 from the tortfeasor or the wrongdoer, the negligent party, then you're uninsured for $85,000. And if you have any uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage, you get to begin to get that up to the limits of your coverage or the limits of the value of your injury, whichever comes first.
Okay.
In New Jersey, they don't look necessarily at the value of your injury
first.
They
don't look first, right.
They look at the value of your policy first. Now, in your case, they take your policy, $15,000, and they minus what you received from the tortfeasor. So you have $15,000, the tortfeasor has $15,000, and they gave you the $15,000. So you have $15,000 minus the $15,000 the tortfeasor gave you, leaves you zero in underinsured motorist coverage. Even though your injury may be worth more than $15,000, you have no, technically and legally in the state of New Jersey, you're deemed not to have underinsured motorist coverage because your coverage was the same amount as the tortfeasor. If you had $25,000 in underinsured motorist coverage, they would deduct the $15,000 you've already collected, and you would have $10,000 remaining in underinsured motorist coverage. That if your the value of your injury were greater than $15,000 and all the way up to $25,000, you could collect that $10,000.
Right. So I guess.
But one thing I don't understand, because my attorney also said if the other party had $30,000 and I had $15,000, I could still collect my $15,000.
That's not
wrong.
True. That's wrong.
That is wrong.
That doesn't make sense. Yeah. Because
that's what I was saying. I was like, that just doesn't make sense at all.
The way you think about it in New Jersey is your coverage, whatever coverage you have, the uninsured or underinsured, has to be excess to what the responsible party has.
And so you might say, well, I'll never get to use my underinsured in New Jersey because the tortfeasor is always going to have at least $15,000 because that's the minimum coverage in New Jersey, Pennsylvania.
Right.
But there are instances where somebody may have less than $15,000. For instance, if a bunch of people were involved in an accident and you only collected $10,000, would you be underinsured then because they exhausted the policy? In other words, let's say there were four people involved in an accident. Everybody got a little bit. The only thing left was $10,000 and you right. collected it. The answer, unfortunately, is no. Even in that circumstance, David, there's law in New Jersey that says you're not deemed underinsured.
I think the moral of the story is if you live in New Jersey, you need to be cognizant of the fact that if you have $15,000 in underinsured coverage, the chances are you're not going to be able to use it in reality. Because the other person, if the other person who causes the accident is insured, they're going to have at least $15,000 in coverage.
Yeah.
So in order to protect yourself and your family, you need to be aware of that in the future and buy more underinsured. And it really doesn't cost that much more money to buy greater limits, like
$50,000. I'm going to tell you this. The lesson I taught the folks at Radio 1,
right.
okay, is that I can, for most people, I can make adjustments to your policy that will actually, A, save you money, and B, give you greater uninsured and underinsured coverage. I can give you more insurance for less money by making some critical and intelligent changes to your policy.
I agree.
And most folks don't realize that because most insurance agents don't realize that.
No, and they don't really care.
Well, if I can talk to you off air to find out how I can get in contact with you regarding that, because I would really love that help.
Well, listen, Joe, I'm going to give you the number, and, you know, most folks know this, so it's a little, I'm taken aback a little that my number isn't in your cell phone, but The way to get in touch with my Philly lawyer Monday to Friday, well, actually 24/7, because you'll at least reach our call center. The way to get in touch with my Philly lawyer is to call 215-227-2727. And yeah, we'd be happy to give you some tips on appropriate insurance. God forbid if you're in an accident again, we want to make sure that you have the right coverage, that you're well insured and prepared for the potential loss that you might incur.
Right.
So 215-227-2727. Thanks, Joe, and have a great Sunday.
Thank you. You too. God bless.
Bye.
Take care.
You know, E would be proud because that's exactly, he wanted folks to have the information that empowered them, you know, and that was why he was such a big proponent of Court Radio and of doing this, you know, the insurance seminar for his coworkers.
Yeah.
It really is a testament to E. Stephen Collins, that question, that whole repartee.
Very good.
Yeah, let's talk to Kenny from North Philly, who's got a comment and a question. Hey, Kenny, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, good morning. I want to give my condolences to Stephen Collins' family and keep him in prayer, his family in prayer for everything that he has done. I've been listening to this radio show for my 9 years, and it's the best I've ever had.
Okay.
My question is legal. I've been tormented by my company. I was falsely terminated. Labor law. So I'm hoping you have some answers on this. I got falsely terminated from my company. And then I have a awful union that I had to wind up suing them for them to represent me because they didn't want to represent me because I testified against their ways of doing their practice at the company. And I won my job back, but I never received my back pay. They wind up placing me in another department in the company, involuntary. And there's a policy in the bylaws that states that if I've been placed involuntary to another department, that I get my time and everything to that department. But it's not happening. So the union is not doing anything about it. And there's some other things that are happening, and union is constantly telling me that they're not going to represent me on these issues. I cannot find a decent labor attorney that is willing to assist me with this. And it's really frustrating.
Okay,
and
well,
I'm just hoping that maybe you can answer that for me.
I'm gonna answer it by telling you the same thing I told Joe, and that is during the week, give us a call at 215-227-2727. We definitely have labor lawyers who handle cases such as that. Here's the caveat, and in order for me to understand it, I'm going to have a private conversation with you off air. But usually when clients find it difficult to get representation and they've called several attorneys, it usually means that the claim is not as meritorious as the client might think. And it could be for one of two reasons. It could be legally, if we look at the contract and examine it carefully, there's no basis for a claim. And that doesn't sound like that's the case with you, because it sounds like you understand your contract and your rights. The second thing is, it may not have sufficient value. Sometimes, if let's say your case is worth $2,500, an attorney might say to him or herself, I'm not getting involved in this claim because my fee on this, if I work on a contingent fee basis as a percentage, my fee is only going to be $1,000. And so I'm going to spend way more time than that in representing this person. So, not to suggest that in this case that is the case, but that's one of two reasons why a client would find it difficult to get representation is the value of the case is insufficient to warrant the representation or the litigation that's involved. The client can't pay an hourly rate, doesn't want to pay an hourly rate, or the claim lacks merit from a legal standpoint. We'll be happy to look at that. And you know what? I'll be happy to tell you if that's the case, exactly why you're going to find it difficult to find representation. One thing I don't do is I don't take a client's expectations and falsely raise them up. It may be. There are claims where I say to clients, look, you're going to have to go represent yourself. You're going to have to go handle this on your own because it's just not that valuable. You're not going to find somebody that's going to do it for you. But anyway, that we'll discuss that. 215-227-2727. Okay. Give me a call during the week. And we'll
My question is that they, I mean, I'm sorry, not the question, but what I've been coming across is that they say it's, how you say, like they are engaged with the company or the union. No, I pronounce that. I forget how you.
How many,
like a conflict of interest?
There you go.
How many attorneys?
Exactly.
How many attorneys?
I called like four of them, and I got the same thing.
They're
lying.
Yeah, that sounds unreasonable to me.
Listen, I don't know why it is. Doctors and lawyers, they have a hard time just saying to somebody, look, I'd like to help you, but I'm not going to make enough money, or your case isn't worth it, or your idea doesn't make any sense. You know, they just don't like to tell people. They want to sugarcoat it, and you're not going to get some sugarcoating over at My Philly Lawyer. You know, if you've got a problem with your case, we're going to tell you. If it's not worth it for us to get involved, we're going to tell you. I'm not going to use some you know, excuse like, oh, I've got a conflict of interest in order to get you easily and quickly off the phone. That's not how it works here, all right?
Okay.
All right. Most of the time, our clients appreciate that level of honesty.
And I think the other caveat that what you touched on, Dean, is usually, and I wouldn't say this applies to you, it may, if four attorneys have looked at it and passed it up, there's a good chance that there's something there that means either it can't be pursued or, you know, they don't want to. And there's a reasonable reason why. So we'll find out what it is.
A reasonable reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
A reasonable reason.
There you
instead
go.
Instead of an unreasonable reason or a bad reason.
I was thinking maybe because of the company itself, because the company is a city.
No. Oh, well, I
sue the city all the time.
Really?
You know, I sue the mayor, the city, the chief of police.
Well, I'm hoping to sue the union because this is like the fourth time that they've denied representing me on any issue.
Gotcha.
And I feel it's not because of
You begin to wonder it's whether it's you that they don't like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, four times. Yeah. Anyway, we'll be happy to talk to you this week. Give us a call. Thanks for calling Court Radio. Thanks for your kind comments regarding E. Stephen Collins.
Thank you.
All right. Folks, we're going to take a break. But before we take our break, just before, I want to make an announcement that there will be a public memorial for my friend E. Stephen Collins, and slated to attend are Mayor Michael Nutter and U.S. Rep. Shaka Fatah and Radio 1 founder Catherine Hughes. The public memorial for everybody to attend is Saturday, September 21st. That's next Saturday from noon to 3 p.m. at Sharon Baptist Church, 3955 Conshohocken Avenue, Philadelphia. That's right. Right at Sharon Baptist Church, noon to 3 p.m. on Saturday, September 21st. If you'd like to come out to pay your respects and to attend the public memorial for E. Stephen Collins, that's the time and that's the place. We'll be right back after this and these announcements.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident? With your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured in an automobile accident, you know what matters. Being able to afford medical care, providing for your family while you're out of work, knowing your rights and getting just compensation. These things matter. That's why your attorney matters. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been injured in an auto or truck-related accident, My Philly Lawyer will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good show, Dean. I learned so much from your show. You and your team do such a phenomenal job here at Radio 1 Philadelphia. I really did. For anybody who ever wanted to learn how to buy a home, how to get their credit ready, and how to avoid Dean Weitzman, I'm glad you listened. Dean, by the way, that your show, let me just ask you, because that really was a good show. I learned a lot, and I know how important it is for first-time home buyers and people looking to get their credit. Everybody that buys a house, does anything big, they have to get their credit correct, cleaned up. And yeah, it's not that hard to do. And I was amazed to hear that you've learned that. And I thought old dogs could learn new tricks. So I'm impressed.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
Very
you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
My friend E.
You know what I get from that? Aside from his voice.
Yeah.
There's something about that voice. Compared to yours, you know, you heard it.
Yeah.
Let's be real. I mean, your voice is okay, and my voice is okay, but that voice is so comforting and so just, you know what I mean? You hear it and you feel like, oh, okay, this guy's going to take care of everything. And he's smooth. And, you know,
he loved going on the air.
Yeah,
you know, he never gave up his show. I mean, he became really on the business side of radio.
Right.
He became such a leader here at the stations. Involved in sales and marketing and external relations. That was his forte, really.
Right.
But he could easily have given up his radio show.
Sure,
I mean, he
sure.
worked Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. Well, he never stopped at 5. I mean, he would be out on the road, you know, engaged in station business till all hours of the night. And nobody knew that better than Lisa, his wife,
yeah, right.
who, you know, would be waiting for him at home. She'd go to some of the events, but, you know, he was constantly running, constantly.
Yes.
I mean, so to say that he could have given up his show would, you know, easily, nobody would have expected him to come so early on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he could never do that.
He
loved to be on radio. I mean, the greatest time for E was a snowstorm. Because
or some type of thing that required, you know, to be stuck at the station. Yeah.
Yeah. He'd get his snow boots on, right? And he'd battle through a huge snowstorm to get here, and then he would make camp here, and he'd be here for hours and days. He loved that.
Well, it wasn't the snowstorm, wasn't it? That when the Schuylkill was banking, you know, it was the flood. He got here.
Yeah, yeah.
He almost his car. No, didn't his car almost float away?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
But he.
He got here.
But he got here.
And you know, he was wearing the little yellow hat, the yellow slicker. I mean, he loved that. He loved that stuff.
How could you possibly... I disagree with you in one respect. If he would have said, you know what, I'm too busy, I can't do the radio show, I think people at the radio show, executives and everything, and listeners would have revolted. They need that voice.
Listeners would have,
yeah,
absolutely.
They needed that voice. That voice was so key to just... Yeah, you know, comfort every week.
215-263-1003. We're talking about our friend E. Stephen Collins. 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Mary from East Oak Lane. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. Good morning. morning. Good morning, gentlemen. You have a wonderful show. First of all, I just want to give my condolences to Radio One and to the Collins family, Lisa, his wife, and his son, for the loss of E. Stephen Collins, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person. Just not a radio personality, but a person himself.
Yep.
A great loss. A great loss. One of a kind. One of a kind. My condolences go out to them. My heart is very heavy. Every time I think about it, if I stop and pause long enough, I really get teary-eyed. I'm going to miss eight. Gentlemen, I have a question, a legal question, in reference to an auto accident.
Okay.
I live in East Oak Lane, and I had a motorist run into my property line and tear my house up, not my physical house, but my land. I spoke with the insurance company. It was two vehicles. One vehicle veered into another vehicle. Both vehicles landed on my property line. The insurance company is telling me that because it was two vehicles involved in it, their motorist is claiming that it's not their fault. It's the other driver's fault. As a result of it, where this has landed is that they don't want to pay for the property damage, because they want to pursue the other driver. The other driver, I have no idea if that person has insurance. I do know where they live. I have their name based on the police report. So as it stands right now, my property is still damaged. They're telling me, well, why don't you just call your homeowner's insurance and file a claim through them? I feel as though, why should I? My gate didn't come after your driver. Your driver came into my property line.
Right. And,
yeah, well,
and you probably have a deductible,
which
you're going to have to front. And, you know, the answer is it really depends on how much your claim is. For instance,
about $3,500.
Okay.
So, damages.
All right. So you have a $3,500 claim, and let's just say you have a $500 deductible.
Okay.
So your insurance company would pay you $3,000, and now your insurance company may then pursue the other person's insurance company, and if necessary, sue them. So I don't know that this would be deemed a chargeable claim against you, and your insurance company would do the heavy lifting, so to speak, on the claim. So that's one option. And that's the option that they propose to you. The other option is you get your estimates and you sue in small claims court down in Philadelphia, both drivers, driver A and driver B, and let the court make the decision as to who is at fault, or maybe they're both at fault. They may both may be 50% at fault, in which case each is going to be responsible for half your damages. That would be my first way to go if we knew for sure that both drivers had insurance.
Right.
You're going to have to do some more work to find out whether both drivers had insurance.
How would I find that out?
Go ahead, David. How would she find
it? Well, on the police report, you said you had the name.
I have the name.
Do you have the tag?
I have the name of both drivers.
Right.
And I have the insurance for one. But the insurance for the other, I do not have.
Do you have the vehicle?
The insurance company is claiming that we don't know whether or not that other driver has insurance. We're still trying to figure that out.
Do you have the vehicle? Do you have the vehicle information on the other car?
Yes.
Okay. With that vehicle information, there can be an application made to the Department of Motor Vehicles to find out if there's insurance. That's probably what the other insurance company is doing, to try and find out if the other driver has insurance. I just want to make before I forget, one comment, and I think you'll appreciate this, Dean. This brings to light what happened in Pennsylvania recently in abolishing what we call joint and several liability.
Repeat what you just said. It's called the who?
This brings to light what happened in Pennsylvania recently, where the legislature abolished what we used to call joint and several liability. And what that used to mean is if there's more than one person involved in causing damage, each one can be held accountable for the whole thing, and then the two of them would have to go fight each other to get the percentage. Now, under the Corbett administration, and dare I say the Republicans,
You dare.
I dare, and I will say it. They got rid of that, unbeknownst to the public, because people aren't informed, unfortunately, you know, aren't well informed when they vote. And now this is why the insurance company is so easily standing on their laurels and telling you, our insurance says they didn't cause it, so we're not paying you. Had this law still been in effect, they would have realized that they would have to pay you fully, even if they were just slightly at fault, 1% at fault. Now they realize even if we're just slightly at fault, we're only going to have to pay a tiny, tiny amount. So they're willing to gamble instead of just saying, oh, we're going to have to pay. And then, you know, because ultimately it's going to cost us anyway. And this is what happens when bad laws are enacted. People don't know about it and they don't vote properly. So the law changed, and that's why you are now in this situation, I feel. But getting back practically to what you asked, I will tell you very quickly. You can go on to the website of the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Okay.
You can download an application that allows you to get insurance information on another vehicle based upon the license plate number, the name and address of the owner, that kind of thing. I think your insurance companies, or not your insurance company, but the one that that is denying the claim on you is probably doing that anyway. But you can do that on your own.
Yeah, or you can just, you know, check in with them in a week or two, and maybe they'll have that information for you. But, for $5, you can write to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. You can get the insurance information for the car since you have the VIN or plate number.
Or the lack of insurance, tell you. Yeah.
And then if you have insurance on both sides, it's an easy situation. You can just file suit against them in municipal court, and that one or both will be responsible. But as David said, unfortunately, the law changed, and if one's only 5% at fault, that the insurance company case, and if the other one doesn't have insurance, the 5% at fault is only going to have to pay 5% of your damages, or $175 of your $3,500 claim,
and then you're stuck with the rest.
If this had been 2 years ago, before the legislature, in essence, really, you know, did Pennsylvanians wrong. If this had been 2 years ago and they were 5% at fault, they'd have to pay you the whole $3,500 and then chase after the other co-defendant for the balance of their money. That's the way it should be, but it's not the way it is.
Okay, well, I have another question. Unfortunately, where I live, this has happened before. Prior, it happened almost 2.5 years ago where a DUI driver hit the same area, almost the same area, and the police took him away, and the DA asked me to come to court, and once I would give my statement, how I was involved in it, I just witnessed what happened, they were going to do something with him as far as his charges. Apparently, he was out on probation and with some other things going on with him, but where it landed was is that they are supposed to compensate me because he's on probation.
Right.
And he has to pay into probation fees.
Correct.
And I'm supposed to get paid my money back for the cost of the damages.
Right.
Never got the money.
Yeah, well, that's not surprising.
No.
Unfortunately...
Restitution.
A restitution for your damages isn't the greatest priority of the city of Philadelphia. And not to mock that, but that's the real sad reality. And you know, that's why there's civil courts, and that's why you don't have to rely upon them. You could have sued the DUI driver yourself. You know, again, we get back to, does he have insurance? And I ask that only because your ability to collect is much greater if he has insurance. You'll get a judgment either way, but, you know, even DUI people sometimes have insurance. And so if he had insurance, his insurance company really should have paid you for those damages. And that information, again, is obtainable usually on the police report, but if not, you can get it from Harrisburg.
Okay.
You really need to take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and represent yourself. These smaller claims, you're not going to find a lawyer who's willing to take it on because there's just not enough money involved. Lawyers,
and I respect that. I don't even have a problem with that.
Yeah,
just lead me in the right direction.
Yeah,
so
you could do this.
I can kind of do the legwork myself.
You can do this, and if you have any questions after today's show, you can always reach me at 215-227-2239. 2727.
Okay, I have one more question.
Three.
No,
three strikes, you're out. It's one you should have been out.
Yeah. In honor of E. We gave you an extra question. No, even E would agree with me. He would say, Dean, you have to go on. You have to move on. All right. Sorry.
You can email it to us.
Yeah. You can email it. Thank you, David. Yeah. You can email it to me at courtradio.com. Go to the website and you can post your questions right there. We might answer it next week.
Actually, when we're done the show, we'll look at the email. And if it's a great question, we'll answer it right away. And
who knows? Maybe we'll bring her on the show.
Maybe.
As a special guest star.
Okay.
Let's talk to Thomas from Southwest Philly. Hi, Thomas, and welcome to Court Radio.
She can Twitter it, too.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Thomas.
And condolences to the Collins family. I'm very sorry about their loss.
Yes.
Thank you.
I listened to you one time before. I had called in, and maybe you might remember this. 2011, I had a case. My case was closed. It's a child support case. The case was closed. You advised me, stay out of New York. David said, click, click, you better stay away. I remember. It was
sounds
in my
like
mind.
Me.
Now, at first they were taking out $150. Now they're taking $400 out. I don't know what to do. I've been calling. I've been on the web. I've been everywhere. I've been talking to lawyers. David said, I think, it was David, it's not going to be cheap. It needed somebody to represent me in New York. I don't understand this. If my case was closed, how can they still continue taking money because of the lie that she said? Like it's a new case.
Well, here's
it's
the
not
first.
A new
okay.
case. My children are 38 and 38 and 39.
All right, here's the first.
Thomas,
first of all, here's two things.
Arrearages.
There's two things you're not understanding. One is right. It's this is past child support, obviously, because there's no way, even in the worst system malfunction, that you'd still be obligated to pay child support at that age. Even if she went and opened the new case, they would throw her out because of the kid's age. So you must owe money from before. That's number one. Number two, you use the comment, your case is closed, and I would beg to differ because money is still being taken out. So obviously something is not closed. Now, I'm not so sure, fast forward to now, I'm not so sure I would agree with me back in 2011. Now, maybe you do need to take a trip to New York if you can't afford to get a lawyer. I doubt that you'll be thrown in jail, but you've said you've talked to several lawyers. What have they said to you? What have they told you?
They were just running up price. It's going to be almost $500, $700, $800.
Well, listen to me. If they're taking out $400 a month, don't you think it's worth scrounging up or saving until you have $500 or $600 to at least find out what's going on?
Have somebody make a phone call for you, Thomas.
Got to do that.
Thomas, thanks for calling Court Radio and filling us in on the updates of your child support dilemmas.
Yes.
We want to see a good resolution, so get yourself representation in New York and give us a call back and let us know how it pans out.
I will.
All right. Thanks for being a listener to Court Radio. Let's talk to Jennifer from New Jersey.
Good morning. I'd like to give my condolences to the Collins family.
Thanks, Jennifer.
My question is, I was injured twice in 1 year. July 2011. In Philadelphia. I was hit from the rear. And then I was hit in November of 2011, a hit and run. Now, I was going through the process of healing and going through the therapy and then seeing a chiropractor, but I believe the cases overlapped, and the attorneys that I were using now tell me they were dropping the case from November 11th. And I still have not gotten compensated or dealt with anything. I think I'm in arbitration in March. What options do I have? Do I have to search for a new lawyer for the second case, or am I just flat out of that? This guy was hit and run. He turned himself in, but my body is still aching.
Okay, well, there's a lot of questions I have that probably more questions than time permits. And
I
so
know.
So my first statement is call us during the week, 215-227-2727, because I'm going to want to know if the fellow on the second case has insurance.
He does.
Okay. And then whether the injuries can be distinguished between cases one and cases two. Because the burden rests with the injured party, you.
Correct.
You're seeking to be compensated, and it is therefore your burden to prove each element of your claim, and you'll have to prove which injuries came from which accident. And sometimes that's a difficult burden to meet.
Correct.
And maybe what the lawyers are saying is, we don't think we can meet that burden. We don't think we can prove, so let's just stay with the one case, because that's where your injuries really emanate from. And then this new case doesn't really, like, if you have, you know, in case one, you have a neck and back injury, but case two, you have a broken ankle, that's easy.
Right.
It's an easy burden to meet. But when they're both neck and back injuries, it's hard to tease out what came from what. And if you can't meet that burden, then you're not going to win on either case.
Okay.
So
they're going to fight, because either one, both cases are going to fight each other. The insurance on the one is going to say it was due to the first one. The first one's going to say it's due to the second one. Yeah, that's what happened. So,
all right. Well, anyway, give us a call during the week. We thank you for your listening, and thanks for your condolences to Lisa and family.
Thank you very much, and I love your show, guys. Thank you again.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, one last caller. Let's talk to Scott from North Philly, who's got a comment and a question. Hey, Scott, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. Scott?
Hello.
Scott?
Can't hear you, Scott.
Scott?
There you go. Okay. Right. Now we can hear you. Repeat what you said.
Yeah, you got to talk into the microphone.
Okay.
Scott.
We have cell phone problems, Scott. Sorry, bud. We'd like to talk to you, but you're not coming through.
We can't hear you. Nope.
All right.
Dead air. All right, move on.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, Scott.
Sorry, Scott. We'll get you next time. But I'm sure that he was going to give condolences.
Yes.
And he did have a question. Folks, if you have questions for David and I or comments regarding E. Stephen Collins, you can reach us at 215-263-1003. But first, we're going to take a break for our sponsors' announcements, and we'll be right back after these announcements.
Scott.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience, from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If your child suffered a birth injury, you know what matters. Getting proper medical care, counseling and assistance, knowing your rights, and getting just compensation to provide for your child's future matters. That's why your attorney matters. My Philly lawyer is ready to fight relentlessly for you and your child. call 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. This is Dean Weitzman, joined in the studio with my co-host. I didn't announce you today, David.
You didn't need to.
The one and only David M. Rappaport.
Hello, hello.
So, folks, you've been listening to our show, Court Radio, which is really the brainchild of my friend, E. Stephen Collins. He was the biggest proponent of Court Radio, always wanting to make sure that folks had an opportunity to get questions answered that they wouldn't ordinarily be able to ask. And it is my obligation and my privilege to announce that there will be September 21st from 12 to 3 p.m. at Sharon Baptist Church, 3955 Conshohocken Avenue in Philadelphia. It's really a celebration of the life and legacy of our own E. Stephen Collins, and it features music tributes from Marvin Sapp, Smokey Norful, Ty Tribbett, and others. There will be a wonderful gathering of folks to celebrate the life and times of E. Stephen Collins. Next Saturday, the 21st, from noon to 3 p.m. at Sharon Baptist Church. If you'd like to attend, if you'd like to honor E., you're more than welcome to join us. And now, it is my... we're going to go to break first, okay? And now we're going to take a quick break before we come back on the air with Senator Vincent Hughes, who's going to handle the duties of Philly Speaks. Philly Speaks, E. Stephen Collins Show, from the E. Stephen Collins studio, just in a few seconds. We'll be right back.